Hey folks, Jeff here. None of the podcasts on Defenestrate Media were created by a big company or a moneyed network. There's no corporate backing here. The shows, The Left Show, the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I Told You So, exist because we thought that it would be fun to sit down with microphones and talk about the shit that we care about. Politics, comics, culture. Over time, something pretty amazing happened, and a community has formed around these shows. Listeners who come back every week, people who argue with us, laugh with us, send us messages, and share the episodes with friends. Recently, we got a couple of shout-outs by some bigger shows, which has reinvigorated interest in what we do here. It means that there's a lot more ears paying attention to the words that we throw out. It's a lot of growth, but growth means that what we've done is sort of hit the limit of what we can do with both the gear we have, the software we use, and the hosting that we've been running now for years. So we're asking for help. We're raising funds to upgrade our podcast hosting. We need a lot more bandwidth. We need two new hard drives for both production and storage. And then we have three pieces of software that we use that cost a bloody fortune annually to build the shows. We've always been listener supported. That's how independent podcasts like this survive. So if the shows have ever made you laugh, made you think, or just kept you company while you were driving somewhere, maybe consider pitching in this round. A few dollars helps when there's a lot of listeners that are a part of it. Look, do us a favor. Navigate yourself over to theleftshow.com. Click on that big banner for the spring fundraiser. And we're not just asking for help. We're offering prizes for people that do help. So take a look right there at the bottom of the page. You'll see everything that we're offering for those that come to our rescue. With that in mind, thank you, seriously, for helping to keep independent media alive.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my amazing friends in the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman Laird Jeff Bell.
I need Arsenal to pull this shit out of their ass.
I can tell.
They have got to win this game, and they're down 2-1 with 10 minutes left. I'm freaking the fuck out.
Oof.
The closer we get to the World Cup. Actually, you know what? No, two separate emotions.
Yeah. It's absolutely two separate emotions.
Yeah.
But I just love that you are full-on sportsy.
It's weird. What? It feels funny. I was watching fucking like Latin America soccer yesterday because I couldn't find anything else to watch after right. The Wrexham game.
Yep.
Wrexham, 2-0. Nailed it.
When I was nice. dead into NFL football and the season would end, I found myself watching first Australian rules football.
Nice.
Because it turned out a guy I knew was actually playing for one of the teams as their kicker. And then I watched another... And then I started watching, like, indoor football or something, and I'm like, okay, this is getting out of control.
I've never once pictured you as an NFL football fan.
Oh, it was bad. It was so bad. I worked for Showtime Satellite Networks. This is back when people had gigantic satellite dishes in their yards. And we sold the packaging for Showtime plus other channels and stuff. That they could then beam into their giant satellites in their backyard. So you can imagine the kind of people we got to talk to on the phone when they were upset. Mm-hmm. And the thing that broke the year that I started working there, first in sales and then later in QC and then later as a trainer, all within the first year, by the way. I don't know if that was a sign of desperation on their part or the fact that I just was highly motivated to get off the phones and train people. But anyway, yeah, the NFL Sunday Ticket came out. And this is the first time they had it where every game could be broadcast to you. Unless, as everybody found out, you lived in a state with a particular football team that would black out all broadcast of your game because they wanted your butts in the seats in the stadium.
Mm.
Yeah, that was, okay. That was, those were some angry phone calls from people living in Kansas City, New York, Florida, anywhere in fucking Florida. You know, because Florida's got like four teams or something. You know, all over the country, anybody who lived in those states would be calling us, and they're like, "Why can't I get my Raiders games?" Well, no, Raiders fans never called in; they just threatened us. but yeah, we had. I always worked Sundays, and we had my buddy Gary Fluellen had control over the monitors that we had up, so that we could check to see if. When somebody called in and said a channel is down, we would get it pulled up on the monitor and see if it really was down. He had every single NFL game on each one of the different each NFL feed on each one of the different ones, and then had a betting pool going. So I really got into football then. I mean,
wow.
I was following stats, I was doing all that shit. No, not so much. I could care less. But you're going to hear something a little bit different this week. We are trying a new format, so let us know if you like it. One thing we're doing is we listen to you, that you like that we actually talk about comic books. So let's talk about comics. Let's start out with some comic book news, Jeff.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
QCon 2026, the 5th Annual Queer Comics Convention. Is rolling out this June. Southern California's only LGBTQIA+ Alphabet Mafia Strikes Again Comic Convention is returning for the fifth time. The free annual event, much like...
Free. Very important. It's free.
They did all caps and boldened.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, this is presented by Prism Comics and Black Phoenix Alchemy Lab. Set to take place during Pride Month on June 20th, 2026, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Fiesta Hall in Plummer Park in Santa Monica, West Hollywood. Santa Monica Boulevard, West Hollywood. So,
okay,
it's going to have a lot of comics creators, panels, cosplay. They're going to do a cosplay event. Over 100 creators and cosplayers. QCon 2026 boasts a lineup of special guests that feature heavy hitters Richard Fairgray, Maria Kobabe, Lee Knox, Ostertag, Joe Phillips, N.D. Stevenson, and even Jen Wang. We have talked about all of these people in one way or another on the show over the last couple of years. But yeah, there is a list. If you pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com, pull up this article, there is a huge long-ass list of who's going to be there, and that's even only still partial.
Wow.
So June 20th, 2026, Fiesta Hall, Plummer Park, Santa Monica Boulevard, West Hollywood, California.
If you are a listener who lives in that area, Southern California, basically, you could get to it easily. And you're interested in going to QCon, and you go, that's the big one, and you go, it's free. Why wouldn't you go? If you go, shoot me an email. Let me know what it was, you know, how was it? What was the size of the crowd? Was it fun? That kind of thing. What were the events like? That sort of stuff. I'm very curious to see how they do. I read an article recently on shitty cons, that are taking place all over the country. I don't think QCon is going to be a shitty con. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, but I want to know about it. So let me know what's up with QCon. Because who knows? Maybe one day I'll be invited. I don't know. But
true. There you go.
Cool.
Jack Quaid's spy novella, Anonymous Jane, throws a deadly assassin into a high-stakes mission on the wildest day of her life. It's been revealed that an exclusive preview of the book's illustrations... by Butcher Billy is available at comicsbeat.com. You can pop over to the comicbookpodcast.com. Scroll down. It's in the show notes. Published by Neotex, currently under the feature of film development by director Alice Waddingham. Anonymous Jane follows the eponymous character, so named as a play on Jane Doe, after she receives two life-changing pieces of news on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
This looks good. All the covers
look good.
Good. Butcher Billy's illustrations, their chapter, you know, chapter inserts, and they look so fucking good. And at the very bottom, if you scroll all the way to the bottom of the article and looking at, you know, checking out all of Butcher Billy's gorgeous artwork, you get down to the bottom and there is a Read Anonymous Jane for Free link that will let you read it for free on their website or request a PDF be sent to you. So,
oh, wow.
On the Neotext website. So you can get it in digital, which is how I pretty much read every book now. So, yeah, you should go for it. I'm going to go for it. That's for sure. But yeah. Anonymous Jane. I'm looking forward to, I love Butcher Billy's artwork. So this is going to look really, this is going to be really cool.
Adam Hughes, comic book creator, is canceling all of his store signings and appearances after a recent diagnosis of stage 3 colorectal cancer.
Ooh, eat your fiber, kids.
It's every day.
Yep.
Anyway, we got a note from Allison Sohn saying, I am sorry to have to announce that due to some unexpected health complications, Adam will be canceling his upcoming store signings at Aw Yeah Comics in New York. We're really sorry. We've been looking forward to visiting Mark Hammond in the shop for ages. Thanks in advance for being so understanding. I'm looking into how we can try and still make buying your copy of Adam's cover from Aw Yeah a special experience. More information in the coming days. So, yeah. Colorectal cancer. I mean, it's look, gentlemen, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Get your assholes checked out.
Yep.
That too.
Let a doctor spend a little time.
Yeah, they recently changed the age. The first recommended age for colonoscopy is 45 now.
Mm.
So get now a colonoscopy they tell me. And eat your fiber.
Now they tell me.
I gotta go get mine done. I have, now that I have real insurance, I'm gonna go get mine done. When I didn't have insurance, it was like, nope, can't do it. And then when I had okay insurance, I'm like, eh. And now that I've got really good insurance, I'm like, I really don't have an excuse, and I don't want to die from that.
Yep. Yeah, but send all the wishes to him. Goodness.
Yeah, and Adam, if you're listening, because I know you are, because why wouldn't you? It's a cool show.
World's greatest.
I get in touch with me. I'll put you in touch with Evan Black, a fellow comic book creator who is also going through colorectal cancer treatment, and he would probably be more than happy to talk to you about his treatments and what he's gone through.
We've got a big rumor that I believe is true, but it comes from Bleeding Cool, so I have a hard time believing some of it. But I'm coming around on them, not the writing style of Rich Johnson, which I do not care for, but. You know, there are actually a couple of people I really like that work there. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'll come around on Bleeding Cool. But it looks like three editors, as well as the communications director, have been fired from Marvel Comics.
Oh,
Marvel Comics,
gosh,
is undergoing layoffs. Timothy Cheng, Marvel's executive director of communications, also leaving after years with Marvel. It's in the Tinseltown news. We may or may not get to it, but like Disney laid off 1,000 dudes.
Mm-hmm. This right. is a sweeping one for all of Disney. Apparently, Perlmutter couldn't afford the latest, or not Perlmutter, because he got fired. The other guy, Eisner. Apparently, Eisner couldn't afford the latest, you know, yacht that's about the size of a cruise ship. So, you know, he's laying off a bunch of people. That's how I see it. But no, it's hitting Marvel. It's hitting, and the layoffs at Disney are gonna, if we get to the article, we'll talk about it, how it's gonna affect us, those of us who watch Disney, because it's got comic book stuff on it.
Right.
Josh D'Amaro is who's currently running Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's got to get started on his yachts then.
He looks like an asshole.
If we don't get to that article in news, can we talk about it on Patreon today?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about that one for sure.
No. Yep. Anything we don't cover in news, we'll get on Patreon.
Sweet.
It's a left show policy.
That's true. It's true that it is. So Buffy gets canceled. And yep. The comic book world responds. I'm sorry, I'm waiting for a pop-up ad to fucking go away right now so I can actually read this to you guys. But yeah, they're getting a series return. This is a month after Hulu canceled the planned sequel series.
Right.
And Buffy the Vampire Slayer, new to Sunnydale, Dynamite Entertainment has formally announced a follow-up series that continues the Vampire Slayer's adventures beyond the original series finale in 2003, this time in comic form. This is trodden ground. We've been here before. We've seen actually some pretty good stories come out of the comics, and so it's. I realize there's going to be some people that are disappointed with this kind of thing, but hey, you're getting stories of an IP that you love. You know, it's not the happiest feeling, but it should still be a happy feeling.
There's something very important in all of this, though, in this article.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who's writing it.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know if I was jumping on your thunder there. No. But our friend of the show, Kelly Thompson, is going to be penning this particular Buffy the Vampire Slayer book for Dynamite, along with Stephen Byrne doing the artwork.
Oh, you gotta, it's Stephen Andrew Byrne, sir.
That's right, it's Stephen Andrew.
Stephen
Byrne.
Andrew Byrne,
and our good friend Ms. Kelly Thompson is going to be penning this. I am very excited because it's Kelly Thompson. I did not care for the Boom issues of Buffy when Boom took it over from Dark Horse. I didn't care for them as much. I really liked what Dark Horse did. They were the season 9, season 10. They were kind of picking up where she left off. This was again picking up where they left off. So as Jeff said, it's trodden ground, but it's trodden ground with Kelly Thompson. So I'll take it.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pardon me. I'm still fighting with a pop-up on this fucking article.
Yeah.
Lame. God damn it. Anyway, lame. That's it for the news.
All righty. Let's talk about the books we've read this week. We'll start with Joss.
So I picked up my stack. I hadn't been into Volts in a hot minute, so now I'm way behind in my reading again. But I did get a couple of really good things read. And so Muppets Noir... Holy crap, you guys, you gotta get this one. It is so much fun. It is so much fun. And maybe it's just because I love the Muppets. I've always loved the Muppets. I had the Miss Piggy workout record. It was hilarious as a kid. But it's just the gags, the backgrounds, the everything. Kermit is, still unconscious and he's dreaming about being a private detective, a PI. So... pick up Muppets Noir. I did get to read Captain Marvel Dark Past number one. It was good. I'm in. And usually I wait for a couple of issues. But no, this one was good. Carol's memory is kind of glitching out and she doesn't know why. But the Wrecking Crew shows up and there's a twist. So it was great. It was great. So I recommend that to everybody. And then, you guys, I got to read Daredevil number one. And oh my gosh, I'm in. I'm so intrigued. I loved there was a panel that was like Matt fighting in all of his different past suits.
Yeah.
That was such a nice homage to the Daredevil of the past. But also, like you said, you don't have to know anything necessarily about Daredevil going into this one.
No, this one's...
it's brand new.
Tabula Rasa, as far as I was concerned, it was perfect for
right.
that.
Right.
I didn't have to know what just happened to Matt in the last Daredevil arc because,
yeah.
Fresh. Yeah. I'm like, he's a teacher now. That's all I need to know.
Yep.
There you go. Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. So I'm totally excited for that one to keep going. And you guys know me. I'm a Daredevil fan. I'll always read Daredevil. So. Jeff, what'd you get read this week? Anything?
Not a goddamn thing. John?
Fair enough.
sir?
Let's see. For me this week, Gatchaman number 17. If you're not reading Gatchaman, this is a great jumping on point. Gatchaman is, it's G-Force, it's Battle of the Planets, it's Eagle Riders, depending upon what age you were when these got released in the United States, or if you're an anime fan, it's Gatchaman. And Gatchaman, the original anime, is brilliant. And this particular one, it's basically a full jumping on point. You can jump on here. You don't need to know anything that came before. They even introduced the characters all over again. At first, I thought, am I reading the one from Free Comic Book Day from a few years back? Is that they finally get around to printing it? But no, it was just very similar. We had from IDW, Starfleet Academy, Lost Contact. So we get a Starfleet Academy limited series here from IDW. This one is... it's full Star Trek. I mean, and by that, I mean, we get an away mission with the kids, which we didn't get a lot of. We were promised a little more of that. We were also promised a full crew that they then dumped after the first episode. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
That whole crew that was on the bridge, including the woman who was supposed to be the coordinator for everything, completely dumped. We never saw them again. I was like, wow. They even cast that boxer to be the helmswoman. That Irish boxer, and they cast her as the helmswoman, and boom, nope, she's gone. In this one, you've got an away team. Consists of Genesis, Caden, our main character, as always, and Kyle, and the Betazoid. I can't remember her name. And they are supposed to go down and just do a basic survey of a planet that'll be completely simulated until there is a simulation, of course, because it's Star Trek, and an alien shows up at the same time. So it's very Star Trek. It's very cool. And they get cut off from communication, because why wouldn't they? That's because, you know, I love how they have this magic technology until they can't have it.
Right. Right.
When the plot requires the technology to stop working, it stops working. Finally, we got Alias number 2. I got to tell you, I wouldn't have talked about this because, you know, it's as the story's continuing kind of thing. But this, I didn't notice this so much in the first one. This one is mimicking the art style that Michael Gatos used in the original Alias comic. Like, mm-hmm. Here's one where she's interrogating a guy and you've got her at the top, you know, and then... and then you've got the person at the bottom, and it just keeps going across in like three long panels. They do the two-page spread like multiple times. That was a big thing for Bendis. He loved two-page spreads. He got them put into almost every single comic book company now does two-page spreads.
Right.
I'm even going to have a two-page spread in Shell-In number 6. I'm very excited about that. I didn't expect it, and all of a sudden it showed up, and I was like, I'm so excited. How do I make this work? Thank God it made it work. And then the other thing was there's an image, and then down the side is the dialogue, you know, of her talking about it. All of that was right out of the original Michael Gatos stuff that Bendis and Gatos did. And I at first I thought, okay, that's different. Gatos would have had that separated a little better, but that's okay. And then as it kept going, I'm like, I love that this is a real homage to the original Alias comic. It didn't bother me. I didn't feel like they were stealing or being dumb with it. I was like, you're paying homage to the original Alias comic. You're making it feel like Alias. Nobody else has done that. I loved Kelly Thompson's take. Never did that. So this is going to be awesome.
Right.
But that is what I have read. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, you're going to get our picks of the week and the future.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America, $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
All right, what are you... Oh, wait, we got to talk about Shaolin Nun. As of today, the day that this dropped, you have missed the early bird special. I'm sorry, it was the first day. I've talked about this for a month. So if you didn't go and sign yourself up to be notified on the day of launch, I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you how it did, but we recorded this the day before it dropped, so I don't know how my first day went. I'm hoping it did better than the last first day because I've got this new marketing guy helping me out. And the that works for the publisher. But yeah, we are full on launched. We've got, this is devoted to getting you the entire first story, period. The first story arc. So everything in this is catered to that. I have so many tiers where you can get the full set and something. So the full, all six issues and something. So we're actually doing all six issues and the commemorative t-shirt, all of that together. We're looking to do some releases maybe down the line of doing some additional, some of the original, beta covers that we have. So we're going to see if we can't get some of those released. I don't know for sure if we're going to do that right away or not because he's still working on it right now. So I haven't heard from him yet on that. But we're still cranking them out and it's going to be a lot of fun. So join us for Shaolin Nun at shaolinnun.com/Kickstarter. Please pick up issue 6 and issues 1 through 6 if you didn't pick up issues 1 through 4 or 5. Now, let's dive into talking about our picks of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
All right, Joss, what are your picks this week?
So, from Marvel Comics, kind of for lack of something that I was super excited about, but this looks intriguing. The Amazing Spider-Man Spider-Versity number 1, Miles Morales, Spider-Gwen, Silk, Arana, Spider-Boy, and Spider-Girl have one thing in common. They aren't ready. At least according to former Resolute Spider-Man Norman Osborn. So he and Spider-Woman are going to train them to meet the next threat. The only way the Green Goblin knows how. Because the next threat might well be the Green Goblin. I like all of these characters individually, but I also don't read a lot of Spider-Man. So
that's
fair. Take a look. And then wanted to make mention of the fact that Marvel is dropping Volume 1 of The Mortal Thor. No Gods, No Masters. This has been a really good series. It's collecting 1 through 5. So if you haven't been reading it, go pick this trade paperback up and then you'll be like, Jocelyn was right. This is so good. How about you, Jeff? What do you got for picks of the week?
I'm going Marvel Spider-Man Noir number 1, the facsimile re-release. I've never read it and I'm interested, especially with the series coming up. And then
new Nick Cage thing coming out. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Animal Man has put together a volume. Oh, goody. Another pop-up blocker. Fantastic. Anyway, yeah, Animal Man's coming out with the trade paperback. And I remember the last time I read Animal Man, I enjoyed it. So I went, ooh, I'll pick that up again. What about you, buddy?
From Marvel Comics, we have Spider-Man Superman number one. This is the follow-up to Superman Spider-Man number one that DC did last month. So here we get Spider-Man Superman number one. You get stuff from Kelly, who is it? Metzer, Laraz, Gracia, all these different Spider-Man writers and artists coming in. So Brad Metzler and Pepe Laraz, Spider-Man, Superman against Lex Luthor and Norman Osborn, because why wouldn't you? There's a Spider-Man noir with the original Golden Age Superman told by Dan Slott.
Ooh.
A crisis ensues as Jeff Johns and brings the Super and Spider families against each other at the summons of Mysterio. Symbiote hordes invade Metropolis and a new War of the Realms ignites in Jason Aaron's story. And co-creator of Steel, Louise Simonson, hammers out the tale of John Henry Iron's clash with the Hobgoblin. This is going to be really good. And I'm just very excited about it. I love this shit. So, yeah, Superman and Spider-Man. I just love it because you get so much story in a single issue. From DC Comics, Absolute Manhunter, Martian Manhunter, number 11 is coming out. I'm just digging this one so much. If you're not reading it, you need to find a way to get some of the back issues because you need to be reading it. Let's move on to my indie picks. Indie pick wise, number one from Image Comics, we have Corpse Knight number one. This is from Michael Chavis of the Conjuring franchise and Matthew Roberts, who did Universal Monsters Creature of the Black Lagoon, Creature from the Black Lagoon. This is a story about it takes place in war-ravaged France in the Middle Ages. A young girl named Foy lives in relative peace with her father until tragedy strikes. As Foy struggles to fend for herself, she's granted a miracle. Her father returns from the dead to protect her. Now they embark on a sacred quest, confronting murderers, wild animals, wandering armies, and black magic plaguing the countryside. As Foy comes face to face with the dark side of miracles and the secrets of the Corpse Knight, she must question if the man by her side has always been a monster.
Dun, dun, dun.
How about you, Jeff? What are your indie picks? Oh, wait, I got one more indie pick. Sorry. Phantom versus the Sky Band is coming out from Mad Cave Studios. So this is their first, like, one shot. They'll do another one shot in 2 months. And then I don't know what the fuck's going with the Phantom. So, except that I've heard a rumor there's going to be a new Phantom movie or something.
Television show.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go. Anyway, now on to you, Jeff.
Image Comics, In Your Skin, number one. This one is Priyanka, is a Bollywood Uber fan who's been obsessed with film star Ayesha Sen since she was a kid. She's watched her movies over and over and knows her dances beat for beat. But after a once-in-a-lifetime chance to meet her idol goes sideways, Ayesha announces her impending retirement from movies. So Priyanka decides that if Ayesha isn't going to live the life she's supposed to, Priyanka will take over for her. It's body horror meets erotic fiction. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
I thought of you when I read that it was erotic fiction.
I picked it before I saw that it was erotic fiction. I just went, ooh, I'm Bollywood. I don't consume a lot of Bollywood content. I'd be interested to see how that goes. And then Planet Atmos Exordium. I don't know. I've been running for some sci-fi. And so this is not only sci-fi, but it's sci-fi with a theft bent. So it's a heist book, and I do like a heist book. So I'm looking forward to this one. Anyway, what about you?
Nice. Image Comics, a trade paperback coming out, Sisterhood, a Hyde Street story. I believe I had this as a pick of the future when it was coming out in singles and then missed picking it up. But lifelong friends Sophie and Violent were practically sisters. Now at college, they've been slowly drifting apart.
Oh, no.
But when Violet accidentally drowns at a sorority hazing, a devastated Sophie pleads with the psychic sisterhood to contact her dead friend. Sometimes you get what you wish for, but on Hyde Street, there's always a cost, and it's a killer. It just sounds intriguing to me, so I'll grab that. And then are you guys too old to have read Choose Your Own Adventure books?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, God, okay. I read the very first one.
Okay. I wasn't entirely sure when they came out and where you guys would have been age-wise, but from Choose Your Own Adventure, it's a Choose Your Own Adventure book called Dungeon Crawl at the Haunted Mall. Delve into the gnarly guts of a long-dead mall in this gloriously weird and whacked-out romp where friendship, 80s music, and food court slushies are your weapons of choice against spandexed supernatural creeps. I'm not entirely sure if this is a comic book. It's listed as a trade paperback, but it's a choose-your-own-adventure book, and those were the best. So I'm going to pick this up and be nostalgic for a minute this week.
Awesome.
Outstanding.
All right. Let's jump in the TARDIS, and we will head into June to give our picks of the future. All right, Jess, what are you going to pick up here in June?
So from IDW, Killer Influences number one. It's apparently the second series in IDW's new crime line. Killer Influences follows Melvin, a serial killer who is aspiring to be one of the most infamous to ever do it, a true American nightmare. His problem? He's so efficient and methodical that he doesn't have a brand. No one has connected his crimes except for Kylie, an aspiring true crime influencer who is flailing at a small town newspaper. When she comes across Melvin's crimes and reaches out to him, she figures out how she's going to become a star. She will give Melvin the identity he needs to be the iconic serial killer he wants to be, while she follows his exploits on her channel and becomes famous. Kylie and Melvin make a pact that will make their dreams come true and destroy their lives in the process. It's an Eisner Award nominee, Joey Esposito, and rising star artist, Valeria Berzo, delivering this scathing and thrilling true crime serial killer saga with killer influences. How about you, Jeff? What do
you think? Let's see if they can compete with Doug Wagner.
It's true. It's true. This one doesn't sound like it'll be about love, so.
Yeah. Because he's the gold standard of all serial killer books, so.
It's true. What'd you pick it up, Jeff?
I'm picking up a book by Mark Mosadale. It looks like it's drawn by Cy Smith. It's called Gigs. AI took the work. Gigs replaced jobs. Ordinary people are left to scrape together lives in a world that's no longer built for them. These are our stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, I don't know. Apparently, I want to poke the wound.
I was going to say, are you pouring salt into that wound, buddy?
Yeah, but you know what? I like to see myself reflected in the arts. So, here we go.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
This is life. This is art imitating life again. Yep.
Yep. What do you got?
Also from IDW. So, it's an IDW week for us. Tarzan Beyond. By Steve Orlando.
Oh.
So that got me excited. With Renato Guidas, I'm not sure how you say his name. Renato has been drawing Superman lately, most recently, and it is gorgeous artwork. So he's doing this Tarzan book as well. Tarzan returns to the world of comics with an all-new series. The years have been kind to the Lord of the Jungle and his faithful companion, Jane. They don't say wife, notice. They've grown older, wiser, and carved out a peaceful existence after decades of adventuring. But not all good things are meant to last as the world becomes threatened when the nefarious Blackbeard the Pirate and his crew lay siege to Tarzan's homeland in search of the secrets of immortality. Can Tarzan return to his adventuring ways and save Jane and the rest of the world from Blackbeard's crew? Yarr! Red Hot writer Steve Orlando and legendary artist Renato Guidez team up to bring one of your world's most iconic characters into the near future in the all-new Tarzan Beyond series. I'm thrilled. I love Tarzan. I love classic stuff like this. And Steve Orlando writing it, I'm like, yes, I want to read it. So let's do it. And that is my pick of the future. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, it's time to talk about what we watched on TV this week.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
It's time to talk about the shows and movies we watched this week. We'll start with Joss. What you've been watching? Daredevil.
I was going to say, I'm gonna skip over Daredevil. Mm-hmm. But it was the season finale of The Pitt, you guys. And oh my God, I nearly cried. I teared up. Didn't fall from my eyes, but I nearly cried. It was so good. And I can't wait for season 3. And I've got to wait for at least a year. And so then I took that emotional damage and we dove into Paradise. We're on episode 3 of season 2. And again, I almost cried. And So it's very post-apocalyptic, very frightening. But also this episode was quite heartwarming as well in its own way. So I know you guys aren't watching it. I'm really sad for you because it's such a good show. It's so good.
Which one, Paradise?
What's that?
Paradise?
Yep, Paradise on Hulu.
I am so close to starting.
Okay. If you start, I'll do a rewatch from season 1, episode 1, and we can watch it together.
Okay. I'll let you know.
Okay. Sounds good. And then my favorite plus one and his minis I'm still trying to educate them when it comes to the Marvel movies and the Spider-Man movies. And we know there's a new Spider-Man movie coming out this summer, so we're working on catching them up. So last night, we watched Spider-Man Far From Home. And honestly, I had not watched this one in quite a while. It's not one that I've done a ton of rewatches on. And what a delightful movie that was. It was so much fun. So that's what I got watched this week. What about you, Jeff? What'd you watch?
Let's see. What are we skipping? Okay, so Monarch, the Godzilla soap opera continues,
big time,
and
big time.
Somebody even stormed off, and someone offered to go after them. I laughed.
Yeah, I know.
And I laughed. I'm just. It is. I don't know. I'm enjoying this season. I am having a good time. I really don't have complaints. I will say season 1 was better. But there is some very cool stuff happening this season, and I'm waiting to see how it pays off. For All Mankind got another episode. Wow, emotional. The end of the last one and the beginning of this one had some serious emotion into it. I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody because you'll probably see it coming as it happens as opposed to beforehand. But I can't believe they did what they did and they're still going to do another season after this. So we'll go see. I'm really enjoying that. I watched the movie Vertical Limit with fucking everybody was in that. Scott Glenn, what's his name? Dick Grayson from the Val Kilmer, George Clooney, Batman movies. I can't remember his name all of a sudden.
Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell was in it, and Bill Paxton was in it, and the guy whose name I suddenly also can't remember that plays fucking Longmire was in it with his regular accent. Livingston? I can't remember. Australian guy.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. Anyway, it was terrible, and I am sitting here right now, and I can't remember if I finished it or not. It was that good. And then, for those of you that are tuned into our new show over at theleftshow.com, Gen Zex with me and Braxton Bunnell, this week, Highlander, the extended version, the director's cut.
Damn right.
Yep. So we're going to, that's the cut that is streaming on Prime right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was very surprised.
Hmm.
So I'll be going into depth at Highlander because God knows we have talked about it enough on this show.
And in our youth. Yeah.
And in our youth and in our middle age and in our.
Yep.
Anyway. So other than that, yeah, not a lot of time for watching anything this week. Tried to watch a little bit of football. I'm getting angry about the World Cup, which apparently is how people feel about the World Cup. They get all excited and mad all at the same time. But
year after year, every 4 years, the World Cup comes up. We get really excited about who's playing, and then we get really pissed about how much it's going to cost for anybody to go see it. That they're threatening blackouts. They're threatening all kinds of shit. And it's like, what the fuck? Just let us watch your fucking football game, you know?
It's a really big missed opportunity by FIFA to grow the sport in the United States, to be honest.
Yep. Honestly, yeah.
It can be hard to get to because it's expensive. I mean, like, one of the guys on one of the shows was talking about going to see a game in the final
mm-hmm.
8 years ago, and his ticket was $107.
Right.
A regular ticket to just get into a regular game, even in the knockout rounds, is about $1,100.
Jesus.
FIFA's going to make $11 billion on this, and meanwhile, you've got all of the municipalities that these stadiums are in going, hey, who the fuck is going to pay for transportation? So Jersey's like, well, we'll just charge everybody who needs a ride to the stadium $120 to do it. It's $250+ to park anywhere. The mm-hmm. Airbnbs have gone insane. The hotels have gone nuts. Everything. And FIFA is just like, no, we're not helping.
Yeah. The mayor of Boston wanted FIFA to pay for the train, people to ride the train. And they're like, nah. Such bullshit.
Yep, it is. So they're going to make $11 billion. This is an important time to remind you that FIFA is a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving on. Who's next?
I guess it's me. Where am I? There we go. Okay. CBS, we had Boston Blue this week. Okay. I'm a little embarrassed. I didn't recognize her. We had a character show up, I think end of last season or beginning of this season. It's hard to tell anymore. Played by, Shuttle. I don't know how you say her name. Gomez. She played America Chavez in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Nice.
Oh.
And she's been on it because, you know, girls got to eat while Marvel gets around to bringing her character back at some point. Marvel Studios gets around to bringing her character back. And anyway, she's been on this one. And this week, she's been dating the main character's son, who's a cop. And she was a convicted felon, so there was a problem with the cop dating the former convicted felon, because apparently that's a whole thing. And in these cop shows, especially the blue ones, everybody plays it straight. You know, you have to play by the rules, or you're not a real cop. And so anyway, they've been dating on the sly, and this week he's been ghosting her recently because he's a dick apparently, and he ran into her at a club when he was undercover. They wound up getting her involved in it somehow, but one of the things she says is, yeah, and the ticket to the con this week, where, you know, the ticket to meet Kelly Thompson at the con this week, we're not, you know, I'm not inviting you.
I was like, that's awesome,
you called out Kelly Thompson. I fucking love you for that. The Boys dropped this last week. with two episodes, which pissed me off because I was away and couldn't watch it because I was away for the weekend. But I did watch, I did manage to catch it up over time because it's something I have to watch by myself, which is not easy to do in my house. So I watched, I've managed to catch up on all three episodes of The Boys. Yeah, this is really moving the direction it's supposed to be moving based on the books, and I'm very excited for it. Monarch. Okay, Kate, it's not that hard to explain what is going on. Every time they ask her, why, what do you mean, how do you know this? She says, I can't explain it. I'm like, you fucking can. For some reason, I have a connection to the monster. Her then grandmother could say, and we found a village where that one woman after another has had connection to these monsters, to this particular monster, through the sea. And she has the same connection. She is connected to it. And they would fucking listen to you. But whenever you say, I can't explain it, nobody's going to fucking listen to you. Oh, that's driving me crazy.
You know, I agree with you on that. And I also point out, they measured it scientifically with instruments and everything.
I know. I know.
This is hard to explain. Here's my data.
The whole time, Keiko is standing behind her, completely silent. And I'm like, what the fuck? You have the data, science woman. Say you've got the data.
Aren't you a PhD?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that was pissing me off. But yeah, that's apart from that, I loved the episode. But yeah, that's just pissing me off. Now let's talk about Daredevil Born Again.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. That was a little loud.
That was loud.
Sorry.
That was an expected loud from you.
So good. It was so good. Oh my gosh, you guys. I will say, no, that might spoil things.
There's to talk about that wouldn't spoil it. So yeah.
Yeah, but oh my gosh. That's all I can say without spoiling it. But
spoiler-rich episode. That is true.
Yeah. So this was an interesting one because a lot happened, but not a lot happened. You know what I mean?
Right.
Big things happened, but they happened quickly and without a lot of fuss.
Without a lot of fuss, because it's a build-up. This is a build-up episode. All its whole point is to build us up to that ending, which when you see that ending, you know. Everyone is fucked now.
Yep.
and it was just that moment of, oh, fuck. I mean, the look on Karen's face at the end? Somebody's fucked there.
Little
help
here.
The look on Wilson's face at the end? Everybody's fucked now. It's like, everybody is fucked. And, and then the fact that the whole thing with... Gandolfini's kid, that whole build up there to right up to it, and I'm like, is BB in the trunk? Predicted what happened early on because it had to happen basically, but it's actually in the comics too in a way. Not it didn't happen exactly that way, but it did happen
right.
But oh my god, what an episode. I'm like, it was edge of the seat so many times. And yet at the same time, I'm like, well, that was done. Like Jeff said, there was no fuss. We just got it done. Moved on.
Right.
Taking care of it.
It was so good. It was so good.
So good. Yep. And then you just get those bombs dropped at the end. And it's like, wow. What a show.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
I can't say anything more. Because we probably already spoiled enough of it. So if you're not watching Daredevil on Disney, I guess you're waiting for it to drop, to completely drop, so you just binge it. I don't know.
Or you're wrong, flat out.
Really wrong, because it's so good.
You have not talked about The Mall animated series, Jeff, and I know you're watching it.
The Mall?
Mall, as in Darth Maul.
Oh, you know what I did? I've caught 3 episodes so far. I keep thinking that I'm sleeping on these Disney cartoons, especially Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
And then I watch them and I'm like, I didn't need that. Yeah. You know, it wasn't bad. Rebels isn't bad. What I've seen, Rebels isn't bad. Clone Wars wasn't bad. It just wasn't anything that reached out and struck me. But Maul was on. I couldn't fucking pick anything, and I was just feeling sorry for myself that particular day. So I was like, fuck it, I'll watch it. And then the next thing you know, I'm not getting homework done. I'm watching the show.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay. All right. This is pretty good. And again, it touches on previous animated stuff because there's characters that know each other that I have no idea who the fuck they are. But for the most part, no, I'm really enjoying. I am enjoying Maul quite a bit.
Nice.
It's not bad. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hit some Tinseltown news by bringing out your dead.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Sid fucking Croft died. Sid Croft.
Sid Croft.
Also,
Marty died a few years ago. I remember reporting on it on this show. So, yeah.
These are the guys that brought you Land of the Lost, the Banana Splits Adventure Hour, and my personal favorite, HR Puffin Stuff, the show with a 4.5-minute intro.
The 20-minute show with a 4.5-minute intro.
Yeah, with no repeat phrasing.
Yeah, exactly.
There was little Billy, and he's walking down the street, and he goes over by the water, and he sees a boat. Hey, a boat! And there's a boat, and he's got a magic flute, because whatever. And it just, and on and on and on. Witchy poo. Fucking witchy poo. Anyway, I'm sorry that he's dead. It makes me sad.
Mm-hmm. 96.
Not too fucking shabby.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Died in his sleep. His body's like, fuck, dude, we're 96. Moya Brennan, lead singer of one of my favorite bands, Clannad, has passed away. Married mother of two, died at 73 earlier this week. A large crowd packed into St. Patrick's Church in Menawheel, near Crawley, County Donegal. Should have said that all in an accent so it sounded normal. But yeah, we're talking fucking U2 was there, Andrea Corr from the Corrs, Daniel O'Donnell. I mean, lots of folks. One of my favorite songs of the late 80s going into the early 90s was the song that I suddenly can't remember the name of that Bono did with Clannad. That's how I found Clannad, because I was going through my U2 fetishing at the time. Because I don't give a shit if you like them or not. They're fun to play on a guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Edge is really good. So anyway, she's survived by her husband, Tim, and their daughter, Aisling, and son, Paul.
And her younger sister, Enya.
Yeah. I forgot that part.
Which is a big deal, too. So, yeah, they're... This was a musical family. Like, the three sisters each had their own bands in the 80s. Yeah. Although Enya started with Clannad, and then she broke off and did her own thing. You know.
To great success.
Yep. To immense success on her part.
Yep. And then, let's see, what else we got? That one. Oh, we're getting a new Star Trek movie?
Yeah.
Jonathan Frakes says that we're going to get more TV someday. But right now, Paramount's like, nope, fuck it, we're making movies. And if one more person calls it Star Trek 4, I'm going to light you on fire.
It's not.
No.
If it's still the one that was being worked on by the two guys that had been that did Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves and that John Goldstein and John Daly, the two Johns, right? Goldstein and Daly. They were the ones that were doing this new Star Trek. It's supposed to be its own thing, separate from any other movie or franchise, but takes place in the Star Trek universe.
Yeah, the post-Picard season 3.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get a nice couple of episodes of people taking the automation out of their ships.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. And then finally, Walt Disney Corporation has begun laying off thousands of employees all across the company. Josh D'Amato, who took over from Bob Iger as chief executive, announced broader layoffs following a move. In fact, a quote that I saw that I cannot find right now basically showed that the head of Marvel is like, get used to generative AI for effects.
No.
Yep.
What they've officially said is they laid off the entire effects team, and they're going to only work with contractors, which is why they said generative AI, because it would be the fastest way for a contractor, the most inexpensive way for a contractor to do it. But they are going to work with contractors only. So this is, again, more of the, you know, we don't want to pay for you and deal with your union to do this job. We're going to hire contractors that aren't protected by unions, that we don't have to pay them benefits and everything else that we have to pay that's not directly related to your work. And just to, you know, because we want to cut costs and save money to buy ourselves expensive things, but you don't get to have anything nice in your life. Yeah. And certainly not job security. Yeah.
I hate this timeline.
Yeah.
But I tell you, see episode 3 of The Boys, there's a speech given by a character that we thought was dead, and he gives a speech about capitalism. I'm like, motherfucker is right. It just pissed me off even more so. He's fucking right. And that's the sad part, is it won't change. We're going to be stuck in this for a long, long time.
Well, that is it for the news.
Wow. Right. We brought that mood right down.
Yeah, right down. Let's build the mood back up. We're going to head on over to Patreon at patreon.com/defendmedia, where every week we give you extra content. This week we are going to be talking about the 7 best Spider-Man creative teams in Marvel Comics history, according to Sean Lelos. We'll see if we agree. That'll be
sweet.
Fun.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I will say, as I always do, until Jessica Jones has to be the calm one in her own comic book, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.